thank you for that. But I am an imperfect man. I really am. And I'm, I appreciate those words, but I struggle. I do. I really, really do. And can you hear me? Not very good? Gotcha? Okay. But yeah, I am an imperfect man, and I struggle. And the Lord convicts me whenever I have to preach a message. I mean, He really does. He drives it deep into my heart, and it's hard to stand before people and say these words, and you know, whenever you don't live these yourself. You know, I struggle with that. And but this morning, it is Father's Day, and we have a wonderful Father, a perfect Father in heaven, and He's in control of all things. And I do want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and I'm thankful for my father, but he is not a perfect man either, and that's why we're here this morning, to worship a perfect God and a perfect Father. But before we get started here this morning, let's just go to the Word in prayer, or the Lord in prayer. I need Him, and we all need Him, so let's just bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You for this time to be up here this morning, Lord, and be preaching Your truth, Father. What a blessing. Father, I pray that You would just set me aside, Lord. Set me aside, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit come upon me, Father, and let the Holy Spirit be the one doing the work, Lord. I thank You, Father, for this time. Let our hearts be open to You, Father. Just let Your power come upon us. Let us feel You dwelling in our hearts this morning, Father. Just dwelling in this place. I thank You, Father, for this time, Lord. Let these words speak Your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we get started this morning, I titled this message. I've had the opportunity to preach this message already. I preached it in Coderville when I had the chance to fill in for Pastor Bob when he was sick. But it was just, I was already writing out a message this week, and I just felt like the Lord was really leading me into this one, so I fell back and went to this one instead of the one that I was studying this week. But I did label this one as telling us, God telling us what we are. And God identifying us as what we are to be. So keep that in mind this morning. There's going to be 3 points this morning. The first one that we need to understand is we are identified as children of God. Children of God. That's the first identification here. And it starts out in 1 John 3. So if you want to flip the Bibles to 1 John 3, verse 1. That's where we'll get started this morning. There's going to be a lot of verses here this morning, but if you haven't been in your Bible all week, well, now's the chance to knock the dust out of the Bible, so get ready. But so 1 John 3 is where we're going to get started. And first identification here this morning, and it is Father's Day. I felt like this was really perfect to be preaching over this first one here. And as children of God, let's read 1 John 3:1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." So here, God is calling us as His children. Now, we have to understand is how do we become children of God? Because it's here. He tells us that's what we are, but how do we become that? And who is a child of God? Because not everyone is a child of God. So we're going to search that out this morning, but I first want us to understand on how we become children of God. Well, it's mentioned right here in the verse. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." So God's doing the work. He's the one that's calling us His children. He's the one that did the work for us through His love. So He bestowed His love on us that we should be called children of God. Well, what was that love that He bestowed on us? Well, it's Jesus Christ Himself. For what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. So that love is through Christ Jesus. That is how we become children of God. And we're going to see that in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So that's where we see the love of the Father. That is how you become a child of God, through Jesus Christ Himself dying on the cross for you. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus. That is the only way. there are many ways out in this world that people want to think they become children of God or they think they're going to go to heaven. There is only one way. It is through John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is only through the Son that we become children of God. And if you are saved this morning, then understand, you are labeled as a child of God. That is a blessing to hear this morning. I mean, the fact that we get to be called children of God, God Almighty, above all things, to be called his child is, it's mind-boggling. It really is, because I see my own life and I say, how in the world am I a child of God who is perfect and above all things? Well, he tells it right here. He says that's what I am. So believe that this morning. If you are saved, that is what you are. And I want you to understand, well then, who are the children of God? As I mentioned, not everyone is a child of God. It's a reality. It's a fact. If you look out in this world, you will see not everyone is a child of God. In fact, there's many who are not. We're a minority. So understand, as we read Romans 8:30, you can flip there if you'd like. Romans 8:30 is going to show us who children of God are. And let me get there this morning, but Romans 8:30 makes this distinction in between who are the children. And it says, moreover, who he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So understand, if you are a child of God, he predestined this before the time has even been, before the earth was even here, he's already predestined that you were going to be a child of God. He has called you as his child. So if you were saved this morning, he's called you to that position. You are a child of God because he has called you. He does the work, just as he sent his son. No man can become a child of God through themselves. It is impossible to do. And I want to go to Ephesians 2:1-9, just to clarify on this even more. Ephesians 2:1-9. This is a little bit lengthy, but let's read it here. And it says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who knows works in the sons of disobedience. And I want you to understand, as we read here, God's calling us as what we used to be. A son of disobedience is what we once were. And we'll see something else here. And it says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature children of wrath. There's another distinction of what we were. We were children of wrath. So understand, he calls us two things there, sons of disobedience and children of wrath. He makes that clear distinction of what we once were. And it says, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's the distinction right there. It is not through man, it is only through God that you can be called a child of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now this nation is full of people that think they can work their way into heaven. That think if, well, they're just a good person, they can get to heaven. They can be a child of God. Well, that's false. It makes that distinction right here. Not of works. It does not matter who you are. The sweet old lady down the street who gives cookies to all the children is not going to go to heaven unless she has Jesus Christ in herself. She's accepted that. Well, we love that woman because she's so nice and graceful or gracious, but she will not go to heaven unless she has Christ Jesus. It is the only way you become a child of God is through Christ Jesus. And Ephesians here, again, has explained what's going on. It explained what happened of how when you were once a son of disobedience or a daughter of disobedience or a son of wrath or a daughter of wrath, doesn't matter, whatever you want to say, but when you were once that, it makes that distinction on what happened. It makes it distinction on what happens when you give Jesus your life to Jesus. You were once, it says, and you may be made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the reality of what you were. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, you say, I'm alive. I'm here this morning. I'm breathing. What? How are you saying I'm dead? Well, it's speaking of a spiritual sense. You are dead spiritually if you are not a child of God. You are dead spiritually. You are alive walking here and breathing, but you are dead spiritually. So when you die physically, you are going to die spiritually. You will be in hell for eternity. It is where you will go, because unless you are a child of God, you will not be with Him in heaven. And it makes that distinction there in verse 1. It says, which you once walked according to the course of this world. That is what we once were. If you are saved this morning, you can look back at your life and say, I once walked according to this world. I wanted to live the things of this world. And it even says, "And so, conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh." That's in verse 3. We wanted to be our own selves. We wanted to live our life the way we wanted to be. It was my life, my way, or the highway. That's how we wanted to be. And that's what this world wants. It wants their way or the highway. And that's why this world doesn't want God. It doesn't want God. But many want to be a child of God on that day. They want to be in glory. Well, I want to go to heaven. Well, if you want to go to heaven, put yourself away and get on your knees and fall to Jesus and give your life to Him, because that's the only way you're going to go to heaven. And so as we look here this morning, as we see that we are identified as children of God, so when we're here this morning, understand we're worshiping the Father. He's our Father. If you are saved this morning, you can call Him as your Father. Come here to worship Him, and I hope that's what you're doing this morning. I hope you didn't walk in this morning and say, well, I'm just here to be here. We're here to be under His power. We're here to search Him out and go after Him and live for Him. And we should want to be here this morning. I hope that's in your heart, that we desire this. And but understand that you are a child of God. And if you're not, if you're maybe thinking this morning, well, I don't know what I am. Well, then today's the day. Just as we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ died for you. Look upon the cross this morning. Fall to your knees, pray to Lord Jesus that He would save your soul, and I promise you He will, because who is doing all the work? God. Does He not want you to be saved this morning? He absolutely does. He does. He's in the business of saving souls, church. He wouldn't have done all this if He wasn't. I could tell you that much. He wouldn't do all of this if He didn't want to be saving souls. That's what He's in the business of doing. And if you're here this morning, you understand that. You can be a child of God. What a blessing that is this morning. What a blessing. But understand, we are identified as that. That is an identification that we are called as, and God calls us that. Man cannot call himself that. Only God can call us as His children. And He knows who His children are. So understand, you're not going to get away with it. In your heart, don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself this morning and say, well, I'm fine. I'll be saved when I want to be saved, or I'll give my life to Christ when I want to be. You know, when I want to do that, don't fool yourself this morning, because you could walk out them doors and never come back. That could be the last time you ever come in these doors, and you could be 6 feet under the next day. You don't know. We don't know when our time's coming. So don't put it off. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of becoming a child of God. And trust me, He wants to meet you there. He's ready for that. And so this morning, understand that we are children of God if you have been saved. And now, we're going to look at two different identifications here of what God calls us to be. But the first one here that we just went over is the most important one, because these other two will not matter unless you have the first one. That is why this first one is on the top of the list. Keep that in mind. You must be a child of God for these other two to matter. And this other one, we are identified. So we're identified as children. Now understand, we're identified as servants to God, servants. So let's go to Deuteronomy 10:12 as we go into our next point here. There's only 3 points this morning, so understand there's only three. But the second one here is we're servants to God. And that is in Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10, verse 12. Big flip here, going to the front of the Bible. Here we go. Deuteronomy 10:12, and it says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good. So there, in Deuteronomy 10:12, we understand we are called, actually we are required, and I want you to underline that word required, as I underlined it, because that just spoke out to me when I was studying this, is required. You are required to serve the Lord and to fear the Lord. So as children of God, you are required to do that. It's not out of your own way if, well, today I don't feel like doing that. No, you are required to do it every single day of your life. Understand that. You are required. So underline that word if you'd like, but I underlined it. But so yes, we are called to serve the Lord your God. And how do we do that? With all your heart. With all your heart. And so we hear that word serve. Now we can think of a servant. We can think as a servant, okay, that, well, I can serve the Lord when I want to serve Him, but He doesn't own me. He doesn't, you know, He's not that in control of where I have to serve Him. Well, let's see what we are called to be, because we see that word serve and we think of a servant. But let's see how deep that really goes. Go to Romans 6:22. I know he was just over in Romans, but go back there just for a second. I just want to see a distinction here of how important that word serve really is. Romans 6:22. And it says, but now, having been set free from sin, which is what happened to you if you are a child of God, you have been set free from sin. You are set free from sin and having become slaves of God. Now, there's another word you can underline. Slaves of God. You have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So there's that distinction of the word serve. That word serve, you are literally a slave to God. That is what He's calling you right here in Romans 6:22. He is calling you a slave. Now, Romans 6, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but if you want to go deeper into that and understand that more, read Romans chapter 6, because it goes a little deeper in that. I just wanted to point that one verse out and make that distinction. But we are slaves of God. So you can go back to Deuteronomy if you'd like. Deuteronomy 10:12. Again, we're going to do some flipping here. Just be ready. I'll try to make sure I get it loud and clear where we're going. Deuteronomy 10:12. So we're back there this morning. Now understand, it says with all your heart. So as a slave, you serve the Lord with all your heart. Now, I better make this clear as it just popped in my head. I want to make this clear on why we're slaves. Because we hear that word slave and we say, well, how are we a slave? How are we a slave? And really, this world doesn't want to hear the word slave. They try to put that word away because of what our history is. And yes, that slavery was evil. It was. But this slavery, this is good slavery. I want you to be in this slavery. So let's be these slaves. But I do want to make a distinction here on why we're called slaves. Let's go back to that and take a moment here to look at that. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You don't have to flip there if you don't want to, but 1 Corinthians 6:19, I'll read it. Just so we understand why we are slaves and why we would be called that. And we are called that because in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price." There's why you are a slave. Because what is a slave? They are bought at a price. Well, what was that price? Well, we just went over that in the first point, our first identification. Christ was that price. He paid the price for you. Now God owns you as a child of God. God owns you. He owns you. You are a slave. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Which are God's. It is not your life. It is God's life. Glorify God. Because you are a slave to Him. And back in Deuteronomy, if you would just hold your point or hold your position there. And it says, in the bottom of this, it goes, "Lord your God with all your heart. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good." So that's the calling, to serve the Lord your God. So as children, you should want to serve the Lord. You are servants. You are slaves to God. You don't have the you don't have that choice. You don't have that choice whether you want to serve Him or not. If you are a child, you will serve Him. You will do it. And as we look at that, let's go deeper into why we would want to serve Him. We should want to serve our God. It should be in our hearts to serve Him, especially if you are a child of God. It should be in your heart that you would want to serve this God. And let's look at that. And I have Psalm 102 written here. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 102. And it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." With gladness. Do you want to serve the Lord? As you sit here this morning, do you want to serve this God? Do you want to be here this morning? Let's look back at that. I know there's a lot going on today, and we got a lot in our minds, and maybe, you know, we're busy for Father's Day. What a blessing of a day it is. But let's focus here and say, do we want to be here this morning? Are we glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I would hope so. But let's serve our God with gladness. With gladness. It should be in our hearts that we would love the Lord and want to serve Him with gladness. And again, I am the first to say I fail at this. I fail these words right here. I fail it. So understand that. I don't preach as I'm trying to mock you guys. I'm just preaching as this is what the Lord says. And I am a failure at this. So understand. But as we look back at Deuteronomy 10:12, it says that now we can serve Him with gladness. We can do that. And I hope that's in your heart to serve the Lord with gladness. But let's say you don't want to. Let's say you don't want to serve the Lord with gladness. Well, it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him." So, and now I want you to understand what it says, "And now, Israel." Now, God's talking to His chosen people, His nation that He created, His people. He's called them as His children, but also understand that as Gentiles, we are His children too. We are some. Now, not all people are His children. Not even all the Israelites are His children. Some are lost. But understand, as it says, "And now Israel," just put that in there, that it means us as well. We are His children. So understand, as we look at that. But it also says, "But to fear the Lord your God." But to fear Him. And now, if you understand, if you don't want to serve the Lord with gladness, you are to fear the Lord. You are to fear Him. So if you don't want to serve Him with gladness, then serve Him with fear. Because you ought to fall on your knees and you would want to serve Him, because He can destroy you in any second He wants to destroy you. Think about the power that God has to wipe out armies, to wipe out nations, to wipe out people in a moment, in a split second, you are gone. That is our God. He is a powerful God, and He is a God of wrath when it comes to evil. He will destroy evil. So if you don't want to serve the Lord, then understand you serve Him out of fear, because He is God Almighty, and He has called you as His child. You better serve Him. And we can look at this a little bit deeper. Deuteronomy 6, 13 through 15, it's not too far away, so let's just look at it. Deuteronomy 6, 13 through 15. And it says, "You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him." There it is. "And serve Him and shall take oaths in His name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth." Now those are words to hear right there. You better pay attention when you hear those words, because those are powerful words. He will destroy you. There it is. Anger of God. He is a jealous God. And when His children are not serving Him, that makes Him angry. Serve the Lord your God and do it with gladness. But if you're not going to do it with gladness, do it with fear, because you can make God angry. Even as the children of God, you can make Him angry. Understand that. Now, He does love His children, and He will discipline and chasten His children, as you see that in Hebrews. So if you're not serving the Lord your God, He will discipline you, and He will chasten you, and He's going to bring you to your knees, whether you like it or not, because you are required to serve the Lord your God, required of it. So understand, you can serve the Lord with gladness, or you can serve Him with fear, but serve the Lord either way. Serve the Lord. So understand, we are called as servants, and we are called as slaves. It's a deeper meaning. We are slaves to God. He owns us. Now we can hear all this and say, well, you can look at me and say, well, Isaac, you don't do that in perfection. No, I don't, and I will never do it in perfection until I'm with Him that day when He calls me home. And now, as I look out amongst you, none of you will do that with perfection. So we cannot look at each other and say, boy, they're really doing great and they're really doing great, or they're not doing so great, because that is hypocritical. Don't do that. Look at our example. Let's look at a perfect example. Now, when I say perfect, our heart, our mind should go to Jesus. We're going to look at a perfect example on who served the Lord and who we can look at when we say, okay, I'm called to be a servant, I'm called to be a slave. Well, who can I look at that does that in perfection? Let's look at Jesus. Jesus served the Lord with gladness, and Jesus served the Lord with fear. And in Matthew 20:28, you don't have to go there, I have it written down, but you can go there and mark that if you'd like. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now I want you to understand, as Jesus, where did he come from? He came from the glory. He came from heaven above. So let's just take a moment to realize that Jesus himself came down out of glory, out of perfection, to walk amongst us, to walk amongst with me, to live with me as a sinner who is wretched and wicked. He came out of glory to be with me and to serve me and to put his life in ransom for me. Understand, that's who our Jesus is. He loves us. He did that out of love. He came down out of glory, born of a virgin, raised up in a sinful, wicked world, lived it in perfection, walked in perfection, served the Lord with perfection, out of gladness and out of fear, in perfection, and he went to the cross. Why? Because that was the will of the Father. He wanted to serve the Father and do the Father's will. That should be in our hearts, is to serve our Father and to serve and to do the will of the Father. Understand, Jesus did it in perfection, and he did it for the love of you. He came to serve us, to serve us. He gave his life for us on the cross, that we would have a way to be in heaven with the Father above, that we could be called children of God. Jesus himself did that on the cross. That is why we are to only look to Jesus. That is why he is the only way. Because as far as I'm concerned, nobody else has ever stepped up in this world and said, I'm perfect and I can die for you and you're going to go to heaven if you follow me. No one else has ever done that. Only Jesus has, and only Jesus will be the only one. Now we know there's an Antichrist coming who's going to claim that he's Jesus, and he's going to claim that he's the one, and he's the way, and he is wicked and false. Understand, this is our Jesus. He came to serve others, not to be served. Now understand, he will come one day to be served. He's going to want to be served one day. He came to serve us, now we're to serve him. And one day he's going to call and sit on his throne on earth, and we are going to worship him. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Every knee and every tongue, ours, all of us here this morning will be saying that. So one day he is coming and he's going to bring the sword and he's going to bring fire and he's going to bring wrath because he's going to destroy evil. Be a child of God. That's all I got to say. This morning, if he's calling you, you better listen. Today's the day of salvation, because one day he's coming and he will be served. But he came to serve us first. He made the way for us. He's the perfect example of what it means to serve God. This morning, as we look, as we are children of God, that's one identification God calls us as. We are children. But he also calls us to be slaves, to be servants to him. There's two. Let's look at our final one here. We're going to be soldiers of Christ. Soldiers of Christ. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. All the way back in the New Testament here. And let's go to verse 3 and 4. And it says, you, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So understand, we are called to be servants and to serve the Lord. Well, one way of serving the Lord is to be a soldier for God, to be a soldier for Jesus, to go out and be a soldier amongst the warfare in this world. That is one way to serve him. And we are all called to be soldiers of Christ. All of us are called to do that. And we see that in Matthew 20 or 28:20. And if you want to go there, you can to look at that. But Matthew 28:20, that's our calling to be soldiers. As we see that distinction here made in 2 Timothy, but I want us to understand that we are called as soldiers. And it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, here in 2 Timothy, we are called to be soldiers. But every soldier has a calling. And that calling is to be in the warfare, to go out in battle. It is to serve. We have soldiers in this country who serve this nation. They are called to serve this nation. And whenever our nation goes to war, when something happens, they are called to serve. They are the first ones to go into the battle, into the warfare. Now understand, we do have a calling. Every single child of God has a calling to be a soldier. We see the distinction of call to soldier, but now we understand in Matthew, we are called to go. We are to go and to be the soldiers in the warfare. So understand, and it says, you therefore must endure hardship. Well, we have to understand that a soldier in battle is enduring hardship. Where do they end? They're in warfare. Warfare is not easy, right? It's not going to be an easy thing. There's going to be an enemy. We're going to be fighting someone who doesn't want to like us. They don't like us. They're our enemy. They think that we are evil. They don't want no part of us. That's the hardship of it, of being a soldier, of being called as a soldier, of going out and doing the work in the warfare. It is going to be hard. You are going to endure hardship. And if you are not, well, something's wrong. Because if you preach these words, you're going to get hardship back. So understand that we are soldiers of Christ. Now let's look at the battle. Let's look at what we are called to go out against. So we know that soldiers fight in battle. We know that's what they do. So let's look at the battle. What battle are we in? Are we in a physical battle? No. No, we're not in a physical battle. We're in a spiritual battle. That's what we are in. We are in a spiritual battle. Now we have to understand there's two distinctions in a battle. There is the inward battle and the outward battle. The inward battle happens in a believer, happens in a child of God. It's the inward battle. We deal with that, as Pastor Tim's been preaching on that these past few weeks, in Romans 7. I won't go to these places, but you can search them out if you'd like, as because Pastor Tim's been hitting on that hard this past few weeks, and it's that distinction of the inward battle. Romans 7, or Romans chapter 7, Romans 8, Galatians 5, that's all the inward battle, the spirit against the flesh. That is what we do in our own lives. As a child of God, you're going to have that. There's going to be days that you say, I want to walk for the Lord, and then there's going to be days that you completely turn and go the opposite way from Him. It's a fact. It's reality. Why? Because we are sinners. We are condemned in sin. That is what we are. So understand, as sinners, we have an inward battle. We are not made perfect yet. We will one day be made perfect, and that battle will no longer have to exist. But we have to understand there's an inward battle. We, as a soldier, are going to face inward battles. We're not going to walk this life perfectly, but it should be our desire to want to go after the Lord, to be a soldier, to serve Him. We are required of it. And understand that there is also an outward battle. So Galatians 5, Romans 7 and 8 all speak of the inward battle. You can search that out if you'd like. But since Pastor Tim's been hitting on that pretty good these past few weeks, we'll just leave it at that. But you can go there and search those out. But let's focus on the outward battle. This is the battle I want to focus on. This is in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at the outward battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There's the flesh and blood. There's the physical. We don't wrestle against the physical things. We're not battling physical things. We are battling, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That is who we are battling. Wickedness. Evil. We are to be the light in the darkness. The sheep amongst the wolves. That is what we are called to be. We are to be the soldiers of light out in the evil and the darkness, fighting it, going against it, not living for it, but fighting it. Because it's easy to get wrapped up in it. It's easy to get distracted in the things of this world. It's easy to fall into its hands. But stay away from it. Resist it. Go against it and fight it. We are called to fight it. And we have to understand as soldiers, do we see the need for soldiers? Do we see the need that we need more soldiers of Christ? I hope we see that, because today we're losing that battle. America is falling quickly. Quickly we are falling into evil. And our leaders don't know what they're doing at all. They have taken their eyes off of our God. They have taken their eyes off of this God, and they say, we don't want no part of it. We're going to walk in wickedness. We're going to walk in our own ways because it's my life, my way. Well, then they understand they're going to have a rude awakening coming if they don't turn. And but we are to go out and warn them. We are to go, that in Matthew, we are to go and make disciples. Go to the lost. Go to those who need this word. Do we see those who need this word? I hope that you see that. I hope that you see that we need to be soldiers. And we need to be soldiers out in this world going against the evil. Because I can tell you one thing, the devil's not stopping, is he? He's not stopping. He's going. He don't take a rest day. He's out there trying to deceive everyone he can. He's not going to stop. He's a soldier for wickedness. He's going out doing what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to be evil. That's what he's called to be. He's evil. He's going out doing what he's supposed to do. Are we going to go out and do what we're supposed to do as light in the darkness? Are we going to go out and be the light? Or are we just going to let it be dark? I mean, that's what we're called to be. God says we're supposed to be good soldiers. We're supposed to be good soldiers. And as we get back to 2 Timothy, let's look at that a little bit deeper. Let me get back to 2 Timothy here. But in 2 Timothy it says, but be you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. A good soldier is going to endure hardship. If you are a soldier and not enduring hardship, you're not a good soldier. You're doing something wrong. Because if you're a soldier and you're a good soldier, you're going to be outgoing. And that's where the hardship comes. When you go and do it, when you're a good soldier doing what you're called to do, you're going to get the hardship back. And I wrote that down at a note, a little star down at the bottom. I said, a good soldier will face hardship because he's doing what he's supposed to do. It's simple as that. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Now understand, as a good soldier, no one engaged in warfare, as we read verse 5, and this is back in 2 Timothy here, and it says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life, or of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Don't engage yourself and entangle yourself with this life, because it's going to distract you, and it's going to keep you from being a good soldier. And I think that's where a lot of the church is at today, and it's where I'm at in my own life. I've let so much in my own life distract me and entangle me from being a good soldier of Christ, from going and doing what I'm called to do. And I let those things get a hold of me. I bow down to those things. I turn my eyes off of God, and I say, I don't want to be part of that. I'm too busy with my own ways. I got to get these things done first, and then maybe I'll go and be a soldier of Christ. No, we're called to be this. We're called to be this, and don't engage in the things that entangle you. Don't engage in those things. Get rid of them. Think of your life right now and think of what is entangling me right now. Think about that and give that to the Lord and say, Lord, I have been distracted in this thing. I have been not giving my life to you. I've been not being a soldier that I'm called to be. I haven't been a good soldier. And I've not done what I'm supposed to do. I've not heard the calling. I'm not going out. And get that right with the Lord. Get that right with the Lord. And today's the day to do that. We come down to the altar. If you'd like, after the service, you can come down to the altar and get your heart right with the Lord. That's why we have that time, is to get down here and get right with the Lord and get our lives back on track where they need to be. And that's where the Lord wants us at. He wants us to be good soldiers, going out, enduring the hardship. And understand, He's not going to let us go by ourselves. It says back in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. I am with you always, even out enduring the hardship, out in the battle. Guess what? Jesus is walking with you. He's right there with you, helping you all throughout the battle. He's going to be with you the whole time. He's not going to let his soldiers go by themselves. He's the leader. He's the one that we can look to. He's in commandment. He's in control. So understand, as we go and fight the battle, that's in Matthew 28:19. I do want to look at the devil a little more. I do want to see our enemy. I want to make sure we have a clear distinction on who our enemy is. And we've seen that back in Ephesians. But let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. I do want to just read this verse because it is a clear warning of who the devil is. And 1 Peter 5:8, you may be familiar with this. But it says, be sober, be vigilant. Again, there's that calling. Don't entangle yourselves. Be sober, be vigilant, be on the watch, be ready. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. That's what he is, church. He's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he don't care who he devours. He's willing to devour anyone. In fact, he wants to devour you, even if you're a child of God. He wants to shut you up. He doesn't want you to be a good soldier. He wants you to be shut up. And trust me, he's going to throw everything in life at you that he possibly can to make you be not be a good soldier. He's going to try to endure them or show you the hardships. He's going to try to entangle you with life. And that's what he will do. So understand, be sober, be vigilant. Be looking at your life, examining yourselves daily, looking at, okay, what's distracting me? Am I on where I need to be? Am I on watch? Am I being sober? Am I being vigilant? Understand, that's just another distinction there. Don't be distracted because this devil is a roaring lion. He's ready. He's fighting. He's going. He's in battle. He's doing his work. Are we going to do ours? And again, let's understand that as we go into battle, I like World War II. I kind of have a thing with that. I love the history of it. It's just to see a man of a generation, a great generation like that, to stand up for our country and fight. How brave and how courageous and how they knew their calling. They were called to fight, and that's what they went to do. They fought. What a generation we can look at. But as I look at World War II, I think of how the men were strong, and they were brave, and they were courageous. I mean, to storm the beaches of Normandy is what I like to think of when I think of being a soldier. They stormed the beaches. They ran into the hellfire. That's what they ran into. But they went. They were brave. They were strong. And as we go out in those doors today, we're here in our safe haven. But understand, as you walk out in those doors today, you're in the battle. The battle's all around you. It's raging. Are we going to be brave and be strong? As 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, watch, steadfast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Be that. Be those things. Don't be cowardly. You don't have to be a coward. Don't have to fear. God's with us. I am with you always. He's going to give you the words to speak if you have to engage someone. He's going to be there with you. But understand, know these words. Know these words, because these are the words that are eternal life. These are the words. This is Jesus himself right here. This is our weapon. This is how we go out amongst battle. This is how we go out and fight with our weapon. This is our weapon. A man himself cannot go into a spiritual battle and do anything. He is worthless. He is worthless. What we have to have is the words of God. We have to have these because these are the ones that actually engage in the warfare. These are the weapons. And we see that. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the greatest weapon you can have. And I'm not talking about the book physically. We're not going out whacking people in the head with the book, although maybe some need that. But we're not whacking people in the head with the book. It's the words in the book. They're the weapon. I think we ought to know our weapon. We need to know our weapon, I would think. So engage in this. Understand your word. Understand our weapon. Be in the word, doing what we're called to be. Going out, examining ourselves, examining that, okay, I need to be in the word. I need to be battling against the evil in this world. And I look at, it's easy to look at the apostles, look at the disciples, and look at the prophets. That's what they were doing. They understood the calling, and they understood that God Almighty was on their side. Angel armies was on their side. And they went amongst the battle. And what happened? Many were killed. Many were killed. It's a reality. But understand, as we read Hebrews 13:6, we don't have to go there. I have it right here. But it says in Hebrews 13:6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Is that not true? If you're a child of God, the Lord is your helper. He gets you through life daily. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Well, he can kill me. so be it. Guess what? You're going to be in glory with God. Is there a better place to be? I don't think so. I think that's where we all want to be. That should be our desire. So as we go out amongst the battle, understand we're going to be fighting against evil. And evil's not going to like the good. So understand, as I see that on campuses right now. It's easy to look out, and I see videos of people going out and trying to preach the gospel on campuses right now. The campuses are full of evil. In fact, they have college people spitting in their faces, mocking them, saying they hate God and that our God's stupid. They're saying that in front of these people as they're trying to preach it. And what are they doing? They're preaching the Word of God out of love because they love those people. Do we love others? Do we see the need for others? Do we see that we need to be soldiers and that we also need to serve our God and that we are children of God? I hope these three things this morning really help you understand what we're called to be and that God identifies us as these things and that we are required to be these things. And don't entangle yourself in this world. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. I am guilty of that. But as we close this morning, I want us to dwell on these things. I pray that this would be on your heart, that this would convict you, and that this would just open your eyes a little bit to the reality of what's going on. I mean, we are engaged in a warfare, church. It's out there. It's out there, and we need to be the ones going out. And we need to serve our God. He is worthy to be served. He is worthy. I hope you're here this morning serving Him, worshiping Him, praising Him. I love the songs we sang this morning. I always get jealous of the fact that I cannot sing because I wish I could. Paul and my Aunt Jessica are so blessed to have voices that they can just give to the Lord, and they do that work, and they're blessed with that gift. But what a blessing it is to be here this morning. And I pray that you would want to serve this God and that you would want to be a soldier for this God. And again, if you're not a child of God, if you think, boy, I'm not that, I'm not a child of God, then today's the day. Today's the day. If God's calling you, if God's working in your heart, and He will, you'll know if it's God working in you because He's going to convict you. These words hurt. They hurt. Again, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. That's why this world don't like these words, because these words go against everything man believes. They go against everything man believes. Man does not want these words. So if these words are convicting you this morning, I pray that you would turn to them. Listen to them. Because Jesus is calling. That's why He died for you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be in eternal life with Him forever and ever and ever. Not in eternal damnation, because many are going to go there if they don't turn. But as soldiers, we need to be going out and getting those people. Let's get them in these doors. Let's talk to them. Let's bring the truth to them. We have outreach. Let's go on outreach. Let's do it. I mean, we're called to be that stuff. And so understand as we close, let's just dwell on the fact this morning, Grandma, if you'd like to come this morning and open us up with an invitation, let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning and dwell on these things. And we'll have that time to come down this morning and get right with the Lord if you need to. That's what this time's for. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and just talk to Him. And Father, I thank You for just this opportunity to be up here this morning and just the word that You've preached this morning. And Father, I pray that Your Spirit would just continue to dwell in us, Father, and just dwell in me. And Lord, bring me to my knees where I need to be, Father, all the time. Just being humble, Father, and stop living in my prideful ways and my wicked ways, Father, and to be humble and searching after You and seeking You with all my heart, Father. And I pray that would be our heart this morning, is to just serve You, Father, to be slaves to You and to be soldiers for Your name, Lord. And You're our Father in heaven. You're the greatest Father there is, and we are all flawed, but You are perfect. And Lord Jesus, I thank You for the cross, and I pray for those who are lost, Father, this morning, that they would understand the need, Father, that they need You. They need You, Father, and that this morning is the morning to do that, where this is the time, Father, to give their lives to You. And Lord, I just pray that You would be with those, be with us all this morning. Let us get right with You, Father. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.